You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio.
All right, Al, here we go.
Yee-haw! Welcome, everybody. It's another beautiful Saturday morning here on Dave's Corner Garage. With me virtually is Brian Mast. Brian, how you doing?
I'm great, Al. How are you?
I'm looking forward to this review you're going to do. I don't know if it's – I can't really see if it's raining outside or not, but you had a beautiful convertible that we're going to talk about a little bit later, of course. We've got John Carmichael from Omvic. You know, you would have thought with all this pandemic thing going through that the bad guys may have taken a break. Well, guess what? He'll tell us otherwise. We've got Trevor Hutchison, of course. He's the crown prince. We're going to talk about why you got to get your car in. It's important to get it sprayed, to get it under, get it treated for rust. We've got David Tate, who's going to be talking about the upside of the car, which is the surface, of course. They've got some great products to protect the paint. Of course, we got Brian. And then later on in the show, we're going to be talking to Andy Kapitakakis from LeaseBusters. And because of COVID as well, LeaseBusters has been busy with all kinds of things. And with that, Brian, what do you think?
I think we're going to have a fantastic show today.
All right. And we're going to talk to John Carmichael from Omvic right after this break. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Dave's Corner Garage. Later on in the hour, my review of the Mazda MX-5 and a conversation with David Tate of Elegant Motoring about the newest paint protection technologies on the market.
Yes, and right now we've got John Carmichael on the phone with us. John, thanks for taking the time today. John is the from Omvic, and of course, he's the big hoo-ha, the big chief executive officer, and the registrar is his official title. How are you, John?
I'm good, Al. Thank you. I appreciate having the opportunity to come on with you folks today.
You know, as the tee up for the show, we were talking about who we've got on the show, and I happened to mention that Omvic was going to be with us. And I also said that, you know, you would have thought with the pandemic and all, maybe the bad guys would have taken a break. But apparently, that's not the case, eh?
No, they don't go away. The folks who want to beat the system continue to work hard to find ways to circumvent whatever regulation there is out there. So
they were always wearing masks anyways, eh?
They wear the masks. That's it. Yeah, indeed. Now we're all wearing masks. What's that all about?
Really? You can't tell the good guys from the bad guys.
Go figure.
All right. So you sent some mystery shoppers out. What did they find?
Well, we sent mystery shoppers into the Barrie area. And encountered a 50% fail rate in that area, which was very discouraging. This is primarily about all-in pricing. Mm-hmm. And so new and used car dealers, we go in, we try to follow up on their advertising. And so in Barrie, a 50% fail rate was really disappointing. We sent them into Durham as well. 12 Durham area dealers were shopped in July, and a third of them failed. So that was a better response. The highest extra charges at two dealers was about $500, just over $500, $505 to be exact.
Well, which isn't ridiculous, I mean, I would think. But tell the listeners, what are they supposed to be charging? What are the extras normally?
The only extras are HST and license. If they're going to advertise a price on a car, everything has to be included in that price, in that advertisement. And when we see $500 over, that is a pretty big number, Al. It's a problem.
Okay, I appreciate that. I mean, I know a lot of people are fooled when they show up and all of a sudden it's like, oh, the number etching was already done, or the wheel locks were already on, or the nitrogen was already put in the tires. But those things that, unless they're included, they can't add those after, can they?
No, they're not supposed to. Those are supposed to be in the law says those are supposed to be in the advertised price. And so license and HST is it. Even an Omvic charge for $10, I as you know, any vehicle that's sold in Ontario or leased, there's a $10 OMVIC charge, has to be in the advertised price or in the all-in price.
Brian, you had a question?
Yeah, John, I'm curious, how do dealers identify these extra charges? When people are at the dealer and they see something extra, what sort of language or what sort of terms could they be looking out for?
Well, you're saying for the consumer?
Yes, for the consumer.
So for the consumer going in to buy a vehicle or lease a vehicle, we have recommended for the past 2 years that they take a picture of the ad and take that picture with them. Take it on their iPhone or their BlackBerry or whatever, and show the dealer that this is the car they want, if that's what they've settled on. When they get their price, the all-in price, the only extras are going to be those two items I've already mentioned. If they start to get additional extras such as an admin fee or some other fee that is not included in the all-in price, the consumer's alarm bell should start to go off, and they have the right to say to the dealer, to the sales rep, but I thought all your price, I thought everything was included except for my HST and my license fee. And when they get those extra charges, be it an admin fee, nitrogen, anything you want to throw in as an extra, they should bring a halt to the discussion. Say, that's not my understanding of what my rights are here.
Right, and those extra charges can be anything from nitrogen, and that's a whole other conversation, I'm sure, but that's paint protection or upholstery protection, anything beyond the price of the car and the HST and your license fee. That's correct, right?
It'd be in the price of the vehicle, yeah, if it's advertised. Yep.
Now, do you find with most dealerships, you know, I would assume they're straight up, if the consumer brings it to their attention, do they usually scratch it or apologize, or what do they do? Or do they say that's the way it is?
I would say generally that would be the case. Absolutely. That would, I know when I was in the business, that was absolutely, if somebody took it to the extreme that they took it beyond what, we had been allowed or were allowed to do by law, you said, let's get back to basics here and check it out. And sure enough, if we found that we were offside, we fix it real quick. And as you say, most dealers, and I want to say 99% of dealers, will do just that. It's only an exception where that isn't the case. Now, when we've done these mystery shops, though, as you talk about, we send people in to buy the cars or to price the vehicles opposite the ads and work on the all-in pricing component. And when we talk about a 30% or a 50% fail, what we're talking about is the sales rep is actually adding on to the price of the vehicle after those components are all completed. So that's where we get in trouble. So there's no pushback at that point. They actually, their job is to just do the shop and leave the dealership.
All right, John, we've only got a minute to go, so I just want to quickly talk about the unlicensed or illegal people selling cars. Apparently, those numbers are way up too, you say, eh?
They are. We call them curbsiders. They're illegal or unlicensed dealers. Mm-hmm. They'll pose as private sellers. Some operate from, a small automotive business. Often the vehicles they sell are undisclosed rebuilt. Where they've been in a serious accident or have rolled back odometers. We encourage a buyer, a consumer, to know who they're buying from. Our recommendation, clearly, because there is a place for private selling, and not all private sellers are curbsiders, but all curbsiders tend to be private sellers. We encourage consumers to look for the OMVIC sticker at the dealerships where they're shopping. And those are the licensed, legally appointed dealers to sell cars in the province of Ontario.
Right, and if asked, the salesman has to provide his actual license, correct?
Yes, they do. They carry it with them. They'll generally have a certification on the wall. They'll hang up their OnVic certification on the wall, but they all carry their license. And if they don't have a license, and all OnVic dealers, when asked, will provide that license.
All right, John, I want to thank you for taking the time on a Saturday. We do appreciate it. If people want to find more information, it's omvic.ca, correct?
Call us, email us. Yes, that's it.
Right, a lot better to find out what your rights are before you get into trouble. John, thanks again, and we'll be back.
My pleasure. Thanks, Alvin. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Dave's Corner Garage, Canada's number one consumer automotive radio show. Stay with us. You're listening to Dave's Corner Garage. Later on in the hour, we talk to Andy Kapitakakis from LeaseBusters about new buyer trends when leasing a car or truck.
And right now, we've got Trevor Hutchison on the line. He's from Crown, of course. Trevor, how you doing?
Oh, we're doing really good, Alan. Thank you. Things are keeping pretty busy right now at Crown.
For somebody with a big mask on, you sound pretty good.
Well, that is an important part now, it seems, of our daily lives. So, it's all part of the process. So we found a way to be able to communicate through the mask.
Excellent. I'm sure you have to make some other changes at all your stores. What have you done to try to maintain or protect the customers from COVID?
Yeah, that's, I mean, clearly it's been the biggest change for us this year, I think, is the adjustments to all of our centers that started with everything from right the signage before people walk in, or the reminders they get from us that let them know of the new protocols or processes. All of our waiting areas now are really limited seating, and they're, you know, physically distanced, plexiglass at our cash or customer service counters, if you like. And then even everything from the way vehicles are processed, because it's interesting. Probably one of the things that people touch the most is the keys to their car. So making sure that they're, you know, we think of surface areas in a vehicle protecting because people touch them, but keys have turned out to be one of the things that we initially didn't think about as much, and then realized we have to make sure those are cleaned, and, you know, our technicians are wearing gloves as well as their masks, and, you know, limiting how we get in and out of the car and what's touched on the car. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, we actually brought out our own surface cleaner about 6 months ago. And so now that's part of the process. So having said all of that, it's probably taking us at least 10 to 15% longer just to be able to process a customer as it used to because of going through these procedures.
Well, I guess for the most part, I mean, first of all, you're asking customers to make appointments ahead of time, correct?
That's correct. And that's a big part, not taking walk-ins. So it allows us to prepare for the customers that come in, has been a big part of our process.
Right. And having said that, we can almost do a touchless. I mean, once the fellow pulls up or the lady pulls up to the parking lot, they can call the office right then and there to say, I'm here. And then at the same time, just wait in their car really until a technician comes to, you know, to collect it, to take it inside. Eh? So it's not that hard really.
No, it's really not. You're right. One of our biggest challenges is that typically people will, especially in the fall where our volume really ramps up, tend to wait for their vehicles or want to wait for their vehicles. And the challenge with that is we have limited space, and this has caused us to even limit it further because of COVID. So trying to find somewhere for people to sit and hang out has been a little bit more of a challenge.
Well, I think Brian has some tents that he was looking on get rid of. Brian, maybe you could sell them to Trevor.
Well, I'm not going to offer to set those up in front of a Crown location, but, you know, we can always have that conversation. Now, Trevor, I do have a real question. How long, you know, should a consumer expect for their Crown application? How long does it take, and what sort of plans should people make?
Yeah, so that's a great question, Brian. Like, normally we're telling people for an average vehicle, a four-door car, a small SUV, you know, you're about an hour. I would say now that the process is probably about an hour and 15 minutes And so we try to get people to count on that part for their time. In some cases, we're able to process it a little bit quicker. If it's a vehicle that's been sprayed before, that makes a bit of a difference to it. And well, frankly, the weather's really good right now. That also helps out. But there's some things you just can't shorten the time on. And safety is really a key part of it. So we're encouraging all of our customers when we book them for their appointment that they're going to be looking at that hour and 15 minutes.
Now, if it's happened that someone's warranty has kind of slipped or the time period is longer, you guys are sort of stretching that a bit as well now, are you not?
Yeah, we've made a real effort, Alan, because that's been part of our challenge is that we've had a phenomenal metric. We've just come through August, which has been our best August in the history of our company. You know, Whoa. So from 1986 when we started, we have never had an August like we did. But the majority of our business came from our existing customer base trying to get all of our customers with warranties in. And so we're still working at catching up on that. Mm-hmm. So we've made arrangements with all of our locations to work with our customers to assist them in any way we can to make sure that they're looked after because, we've never had to go through anything like this and neither of our consumers. So we're really trying to help them out with that.
All right. You hear that, Brian? You got a good customer for your tents. No question about it.
I love it.
All right, Trevor, people want to find out where their closest location. How do they do that?
So the best way is to go online at our website at crown.com. You can even book an appointment online for many of our centers as well. So that's the best way to do it. And then, of course, if you want to use the telephone, you can reach us at 1-800-267-5744.
Here's a simple question for somebody who hasn't done a crown application before. Is this time of year good, Trevor? Winter's not here yet.
Yeah. There's no question that in any type of maintenance, doing it regularly is important. This time of year is good. Most people, I would say about 60% of our business will happen from September until December. We always tell people though, the absolute best time of year to do it is in the spring, because that's when corrosion's most likely to occur. But the fact is if you do good annual maintenance, regardless of whether you do it in April or July or November, if you do it regularly, you're going to protect your vehicle.
And one more time, how do they find their closest Crown dealer?
They can reach us at crown.com and we hope everybody stays healthy and safe. Thanks so much, gentlemen.
All right. Take care, man. Have a great weekend.
Okay. Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks, Trevor. And hey, everyone, as you know, we're not in the studio at the moment to take your calls. So send through any questions you might have to Dave or Al, not me, to Dave Redinger at Rogers.com or to Al at Allen at GlenAllenMotors.com. And you can find me on the internet at Ryan Maxson, a.k.a. the anywhere you go.
All right. Watch out for that truck backing up, but we got to get out of here. And right after the break, we're going to be talking to David Tate from Elegant Motoring. He takes care of the top side of the car while Trevor was doing the bottom. Next, we're going to move to the top. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Dave's Corner Garage. Later on in the hour, we talk to Andy Kapitakakis from LeaseBusters about new buyer trends when leasing a car or truck.
All right, super. And, just before the break, we were talking to Trevor Hutchinson, of course, who's the crown prince, and he takes care of the underside of the car. But, hey, the top side of the car is really important. I mean, that's what you look at. And David Tate's on the phone from Elegant Motoring. How are you, David?
Fantastic. How are you guys?
Excellent. Thank you. So tell us, what do you have that can protect the beautiful side of the car?
Anything and everything. Well, a lot of times cars use, so we actually do the paint correction first to bring it back and make it even more beautiful. And then if you want to protect it, we put ceramic coating. Some of them are self-healing, some of them aren't. But what it does is essentially makes the clear coat harder. Up to three times harder than it is from factory. So it's less likely to scratch and swirl mark and get those ugly micro marring and so on that you see. As well, you might want to protect it against impact from stones and different road debris. So we put clear film on it from Expel Ultimate Plus. So that way, if anything hits it, it kind of just bounces off.
So for the most part, I guess the film can only go on essentially a new car then, correct?
Absolutely not. We can put it on new cars, used cars, you name it. We've even put it on countertops.
Oh, okay. So, but of course, the surface has to be clear of any kind of blemishes, eh?
Yeah, most of the time, you know, you're not going to bring in a car that's just been, you know, 400,000 kilometers or a highway driven behind a gravel truck. but yeah, if you bring in a car that's, you know, 3-4 years old, depending on how bad it is, we can touch it up. And then when we put the film on it, it'll make those stone chips like almost invisible, depending on how bad they are. Yeah.
All right, we got our Brian Max, our race driver, who's probably dinged up a few cars. Brian, what do you got?
Yeah, I've wrecked more than a few. Yeah, I do have a very specific question for you, Dave. I was testing a BMW that had one of their individual paints. So it's basically a custom paint. And within 24 hours, I noticed that this paint was so difficult to live with. And it hadn't been treated with anything straight from the factory like this. It was picking up dust, fingerprints. It already had stone chips in it. It was like the paint was extra soft and not as durable as you'd expect from a factory finish. But I think that was because it was custom. So how would you approach protecting a brand new paint like that?
Exactly the same way. Just out of curiosity, was it a frozen color?
No, it wasn't. It was a gloss. Custom British Racing Green.
Okay. Yeah, I would approach it the exact same way. First off, we'd remove anything, any imperfections and stuff that are in it. Even, you know, customers ask us all the time, if the car is brand new, do I really have to pay for that paint correction? Well, yeah, even though the car is brand new to you, you just got it. It might have been sitting in a parking lot in Germany, you know, for 4 months before they actually delivered it. And during that time, when it came over, it's been on the ship, sitting in different lots around, like in Nova Scotia or on the coast when it gets delivered. And then it goes through PDI and so on. So no matter how you look at it, it's always going to have imperfections in it. Our job is to basically remove those before we protect it. If this particular paint is ultra soft, you get a lot of cars like that. Like the new Teslas are popular, and they're really soft paint. Lexus, Toyota paints are super soft. Like you breathe on them and they scratch. But we would basically approach that the exact same way. Once we remove the imperfections, we would then apply a ceramic coating on top of it to harden up the clear coat. And that way that way it's less likely to be damaged. So it'll be harder to get those micro marring and scratches and stuff like that. And as far as the clear bra film, or the stone guard, that would go over any paint, no matter how soft it is.
Now that paint, if that gets damaged, I mean, after maybe a year or two, it discolors a bit or it gets chipped, will that pull off or are you able to change it? And is it a big deal to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. We do that all the time. We're actually doing two cars actually right now. So one car was actually a used Cayman.
Mm-hmm.
Customer bought it. It already had the paint protection film on it. And it's pretty interesting because it's a white car. So that discoloration that you see is super prevalent on white vehicles. And a lot of that is old technology, right? The adhesive is actually changing because of UV damage, changes color or distorts and goes yellow. The new films that are out there, we get a lot of customers that come in that are looking for ceramic coatings or tint. And they're like, no, I don't want stone guard because it discolors. Well, that's old technology stuff, and the new stuff is actually warranted for like 10 years from discoloring.
But basically once you treat it, you can pull it off. All right, but speaking of treatments and wraps, you guys do full vinyl wraps as well, correct?
Full vehicle wraps. Yeah, we did a Dodge Ram, like the Sprinter trucks. Yesterday we just delivered one in a satin black.
So, okay, but you can also get them, let's say you've got a company and you want to put some advertising, you can do that as well, eh?
Absolutely, yeah, we can do cut vinyl, we can do print vinyl, so yeah, you could wrap your whole car like a tulip if you want.
One stop shop. A tulip?
Well, if you're the flower...
Maybe a bouquet of tulips.
That's right, if you're in the flower business, that'd be perfect.
Well, you know, I don't want to cast any aspersions, but you know, Brian was driving an MX-5, which is actually like the Miata, and you know, that was mostly a lady car. Maybe the Tulip would work perfect on that one.
Oh, that was mean. Oh, you just set yourself up, Gilman.
Listen, I owned a chick car. I mean, I had a Volkswagen, you know, Cabriolet, and I used to get winks on occasion, you know. And there are certain cars that generally people found as more masculine and others a little less so. That's all. I'm just following the, you know, purchase patterns. It wasn't like I made this stuff up, eh? All
right. That's right.
It's funny all because Everyone seems to think Ferraris are men's cars. But if you look at the California, it's definitely got a little bit of a female sway to it.
Well, and they've always and red has always been the hot color for Ferrari anyways, right?
True. Yes.
There you go. Okay. Elegant Motoring. How do we get in touch with you?
You can give us a call, 416-897-5675, or hit us up on our website through our chat at elegantmotoring.ca.
All right. Thanks, David, for joining us. We do appreciate you taking the time on your weekend.
Thank you as well. Have a great day, guys.
All right. Take care.
Hey, I'm coming up next with my review of the 2020 Mazda MX-5. And later we have Andy Kapitakakis from LeaseBusters to talk about new things going on in 2020 when leasing a new car or truck.
All right, before we get any deeper into trouble, we better get out of here. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. We have Brian Max on the phone, and he's known as Mr. YouTube. He does some great videos. If you ever want to go there to Brian's channel, he's done amazing thing with some amazing cars. He's even kept the wheels on the road in a lot of cases. But I know
most
once
cases.
Or twice. Right. I said that. All right. Now, you had the opportunity in the last week or so to drive a 2020 Mazda MX-5. I still call them Miatas. Probably I'm wrong. Now, this, in fact, was a stripper model, apparently, eh?
Well, not the unconventional stripper, but as we'd call it.
It wasn't a stripper's car. Yeah. No, it wasn't a stripper's car.
Yes.
This was a base car. And
yes.
You liked it.
I loved it. And, you know, it was a refreshing change because when manufacturers, you know, make these cars available for testing, they usually throw every option at them and they're very expensive. And when I was chatting with my pals at Mazda, they said, we've got this MX-5, but it's a base car. I went, oh, I need to drive that because the last car that I drove had leather seats, all the expensive options, and was over 40 grand. This car that I tested was $33,000, and as it turned out, had everything you could need. It had the new engine, 181 horsepower. The car only weighs 2,300 pounds, so it's nice and quick. It had the beautiful, they call it Soul Red Crystal paint, and it's sort of their signature paint. You can see that on all the new Mazdas. It's very, very pretty. But the best part was the cloth interior. I love cloth interiors. What do you think?
Cloth, it's funny, you know, because they're always showing the Corinthian leather. You're going to love it. And in fact, if you got kids or it's going to wear hard, the leather is the best. But in fact, like you say, when it comes to comfort, cloth is king, eh?
Especially with a convertible. You're going to be using it in the summer, and that's exactly when I tested. It was a hot week, and it was just a pleasure to be sitting on a cloth seat because it's not as hot as leather in the summer. It breathes a little bit more, and, you know, me being a racing driver, I might take corners faster than the average driver, so the cloth actually holds you in a little bit better. So it to me, it's all a win when you have a cloth interior, especially in a sports car.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you want to be comfortable in the seat, but you want to be steady. It's got to hold you tight. You know, you got to hold that bucket in the bucket kind of thing.
That's exactly it. And, you know, the MX-5 is quick enough that it, you know, you're going to sustain some G's, whether it's in the corners or under braking. And the support in the seat is so important. And I mean, for $33,000, it's an incredible value for somebody's, you know, second car or third car. And, you know, it's a Mazda. They're fairly reliable too.
And you, like you say, you come with the factory base stuff is really good. I mean, you don't have to have huge pizza pie brake rotors and calipers that you can see from three blocks away. You know, because the thing only weighs 2,300 pounds, you were able to bring it down to a stop really quick. I imagine it still comes with ABS, correct?
That's right. ABS, stability control, traction control, it has all of those features. But what this base car lacked, really, I wasn't missing anything. The top of the line performance model includes a big brake upgrade and big seats and a limited slip differential. And those are all the MX-5s or Miatas that I've driven in the past. They all have these options. And I was really curious to see how it performed. And as it turned out, you don't need all those things, especially if you don't take the car to the racetrack. If you're just using this as a pleasure vehicle, there's no need to spend the extra 10 or 12 grand on all of these extra options. I was thrilled, and it was so refreshing to drive an inexpensive car that put a smile on my face.
Well, yeah, I mean, it comes with a radio. I guess power windows, that's included, right?
Yeah, power windows, and this latest, this is the fourth generation Miata or MX-5, and mm-hmm. the top, you can put the top down with one hand, and you can raise it and put it back up with one hand in no time at all.
Oh, super. And what do you get in the dashboard in terms of GPS and that?
Not much. So
okay.
That is the one compromise. But you know, again, it's someone's second or third car, so there isn't navigation in the base model. But what there is Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. So if you've got a smartphone and you've got the navigation apps on your phone, like I do, you just plug it into the car, and instantly you've got your navigation that's coming straight from your phone. So you actually don't need it if you don't want it.
Okay, sorry, I'm a technical dummy here. Now, the screen or the map, will it show up? You're reading it from your phone, or will it actually come up on a display?
It comes up right on the screen on the car's dash. And
oh, wow. It's like a built-in unit for the most part.
Yeah, absolutely. So you don't need to spend the extra money. All you need to do is connect your phone. And this kind of connectivity makes your life so much simpler. And also it's a safety feature as well, because you can set your phone to avoid phone calls and text messages while you're driving, or you can interact with your text messages by having your phone read off your text messages, and you can reply to text messages with your voice, which I find just amazing and very, very safe as well.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. I like the one button where it says, go away, I'm driving.
That's my favorite. that's generally my approach. I don't want to talk to anybody except for you, Al, when I'm driving. That's it.
Thank you. I do appreciate it. Now, you whetted everybody's appetite to see this car. How can they get the visual in?
So our video is up on YouTube, and the YouTube channel name is my name, my last name spelled M-A-K-S-E, and you can find that right up at the top of our YouTube page. And all you have to do is type in Mazda MX-5s and my name, Brian Max, on YouTube, and you'll find it really easy. And I will say, it is a beautifully shot piece, so I hope people enjoy it.
Oh, see, I told you that. Now you got a swelled head already. You know, seriously, come on.
You gotta stop paying me compliments, Al. That's it.
All right, after the break, we're going to be talking to Andy Kapadoukakis, I should say. I apologize. He's from LeaseBusters. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Quickly, before we get going with Andy, I want to say that September the 26th, stay tuned. We will be back in studio, so make sure that you've got your calls, your questions ready, and we'll be waiting for them. Andy Kapadoukakis from LeaseBusters. How are you today, my friend?
I'm very well. Thank you.
And this dilemma that we've been going through, or this COVID connection, whatever you want to call it, it's really changed the landscape, eh?
It has, actually.
Now, you find on both ends, you find LeaseBusters is busy, of course, for people, you know, who unfortunately aren't working or can't afford to keep that car anymore. But then again, you've also got people who are looking to buy short-term leases. How's it going?
Well, it's honestly, it's all over the map. And
right.
I'll tell you, our sales have never been higher at LeaseBusters. People are looking to take over vehicles. Like unprecedented rates from before. And the major reason that clients are telling us they're looking to take over a lease is that they do not want to get on transit, public transit.
You know, I actually had a dentist appointment the other day, and it just made the most sense for me to take the subway downtown, right? And I was a little bit nervous about it. I made sure to even took gloves as well as my mask. But I got to tell you, there was only four people on the whole subway train. What's going on?
I guess, yeah. I think transportation is interesting nowadays, isn't it, eh? It's mm-hmm. a lot different than what we were used to.
Now, do you have a lot of, let's call it grocery getter, like, you know, lower price vehicles on your website?
Yes, we do. We actually have under $300 vehicles per monthly rate, under $250 monthly rates. It's everywhere. As a matter of fact, I had just another gentleman even today put a vehicle that was, I think, close to $2,000 on a monthly rate, exactly. So it's the whole gamut that we have. So mm-hmm. we actually cater to everybody. And the gentleman that put on his Mercedes today that was close to $2,000, it's just they don't go anywhere now. They don't use it almost at all.
Brian, may get a deal there for you.
Well, you know, I definitely need another $2,000 a month lease. Like, I need another hole in the head. But, Andy, are there any other trends that you're seeing? You know, obviously people are driving more. And I mean, I see it. I live downtown and I see more people driving now than a few months ago. And certainly people are avoiding public transit. What are there any other trends that you're seeing here?
Yeah, the major trend I find is that our dealer body for new cars are somewhat, I guess, hampered now because of production and lack thereof, actually. Mm-hmm. And the new cars are just not as readily available, and they have to wait to get newer vehicles, depending how they like them dolled up or not. And I find that people would rather get a short-term lease and just hang in there to see exactly what pans out in the next year or 18 months.
So really, this car is just a sort of carryover then, not necessarily the one that they're going to want to get married to and keep for a while.
Correct. Correct. Now, having said that, when the lease runs out on the vehicles that they're in, though, I mean, their residual values are fairly low because mm-hmm. all the depreciations come out of the vehicle. So they have a decision to make whether they want to hang on to a vehicle that doesn't cost them a lot of money anymore.
Well, because of COVID, it could have been parked for half the time anyways. So you're probably looking at a majority of the cars on your site that probably have 20Ks on them or less.
A lot of those instances, yes. Yes, they are.
Now, we had, as a matter of fact, we had a fellow on from Young Steel's Ford Lincoln a couple weeks ago, and he was telling us, too, they're having a lot of problems, you know, getting cars. I thought the manufacturers were back online, but I guess not.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know per se for everybody, but I do know it's funny you mentioned Young and Steels because mm-hmm. that's where I presently have my F-150 from, and I am looking to pick up another vehicle, and I couldn't get a vehicle that I wanted exactly to my specifications unless I ordered it, mm-hmm. and apparently that would be another 12 to 16 weeks of wait.
Yeah, well, at least you can get a deal on LeaseBusters anyway.
I could, but sometimes, you know what, when you have something that you want to trade in and see if you can get something else for it that's brand new, still, you may want to do that as well, right?
All right, so you say there is a full gamut of vehicles there, though. I mean, from the inexpensive ones to the fancier ones. And if somebody's got a car, they want to get rid of it, you know, because I've had people say, I'm just going to give it back. And I have to explain to them that you just can't give it back. And in fact, I've given, you know, your number out to folks. If they want to get rid of their car to put it on LeaseBusters, how do they do that?
1-888-357-2678. They can call in and talk to any of our representatives. We're willing to help you. Or just go to www.leasebusters.com and just sign on. There is a free evaluation form there that you can tell us about your vehicle. Doesn't mm-hmm. cost you anything to do that, and we'd be happy to help out.
Oh, wow. So old school, like actually talk on the telephone. I'm so impressed.
Isn't that excellent? I mean, when do you hear that anymore, right? It's just like, please press one.
Well, I could say as a customer, I was very pleased with the process and the service. From my experience, I had to get rid of a lease car, and the process was seamless, and the gentleman who took over the lease was super easy to deal with. It was a real pleasure from my perspective.
All right, Andy, thanks for taking the time. We do appreciate it. Have yourself a great Saturday, a great weekend, and we'll get you down into the studio actually in a little while, eh?
Okay.
This is Dave's Corner Garage, and we'll be right back.
We're back with Dave's Corner Garage. Really great having Andy Kapitoukakis from LeaseBusters on, as well as our pal David Tate from Elegant Motoring, as well as Trevor Hutchison. You guys call him the Crown Prince. I've never met Trevor, but I don't know if I want to call him the Crown Prince, Al. And, of course, great hearing from John Carmichael from OnVec.
Yeah, and you know, and your head got pretty swelled up. You know, I want to tell everybody we'll be back in the studio September 26th, but I don't know if your head will fit through the door, okay? I mean, I watched the video and I liked it. Next thing you know, Brian thinks he's a freaking celebrity, okay? Seriously.
Not just a celebrity, but a filmmaker too. Come on, I'm an auteur now.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, yeah, you were the technical guy, you were the gaffer, you were the actor, you were the music producer. You did everything.
I did. The technology today to be able to put together a video is actually pretty easy. And who knew an old guy like me could figure that out?
And keep four wheels on the pavement at the same time.
Yeah, well, it was just that opportunity. Al, I've successfully avoided you for months, but it looks like we're going to be back in studio September 26th.
I'm looking forward to it. We could get up close and personal in each other's face, and we can make, you know, I was going to say, you know, we could make like different kind of hand gestures and stuff, but I forgot that we also put it on Facebook. So there will be some video there as well. So we have to keep it clean, eh?
It's always got to be family friendly. I'll do my best. I don't know about you, Al. And we're certainly looking forward to seeing Dave again as well.
Exactly. All right. I want to thank everybody. Thank Joel. Of course, we couldn't have done it all this time without his expert technical ability. And hopefully, I keep saying this, hopefully the boss will listen and give you a raise, Joel. That'd be great. And that's about it. Drive safe, everyone. Thanks again, Brian, for joining us. And we'll be back next week for another edition of Dave's Corner Garage.
Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.